Welcome, Michael Kay, sharing his personal experience on the eighth step.
Thanks, Judith. I'm Michael. I'm a seeker of emotional sobriety tonight. That's really where my journey's at right now, but I could go on and on about the alcohol addiction, the drug addiction, and the people addiction. It would be better just to read the list of chaos creator, controller, fixer, and check off almost all of them. Jeff, thanks for inviting me. Wednesdays are just not a really good day for this time slot. I've got a lot of other things going on normally. So by invite, it's really nice to see you guys. At least half of you I know personally, and I love you guys. The rest of you guys, I love you too. I just don't know you yet. So eighth step for me. A friend and I were going over some stuff earlier in the week, probably not a coincidence. So I'm going to start there about our eighth step. And I'm actually going to start on page 83, which is the ninth step. And I'm going to walk it backwards. And it was a nice experience the other day. So I'm going to try it here again. So page 83, towards the very end of our ninth step reading. Today, as God's people, I don't crawl before anyone. I'm no longer humble. I'm working on that, guys. I'm no longer servile or scraping. Today, I can be sensible, tactful, considerate, and even humble. God uses me in really amazing ways. And I normally get to give God credit that pretty quickly because, you know, me on my own, I do it the old way. So to be in this place of power today is going to give me some power to make these ninth step. And the reason why I bring that up is because I was so terrified of the ninth step, I wouldn't do the eighth step. In fact, in my case, and maybe one of two of you already heard, is in my case, I almost didn't do all the steps. I wasn't going to do any of the steps because I was afraid of step nine. Like I knew it was coming and like, nope, can't do it. No how, no well way. So I can't do any of the steps. Fear and blockage was almost killed me in that regard. So going to go back up, especially when it comes to the people in my life, the alcoholic addict daughter, the possible alcoholic or alcohol abuser that I married, and the mother of my children, and then several parental like roles that are alcoholics in my family as well. They will change in time. And what I have in my notes here is, I'm going up the page, by the way, page 83, middle of that is, they will change in time. And my note there is, they're going to change in God's time, not my time. Because it used to all be about my time, you know, my schedule and my time. And then I'm going to stop with the last sentence in the paragraph above. Every day, am I asking in meditation, in prayer, that our Creator is going to show me the way of patience, tolerance, kindliness, and love? Aren't those the building blocks of this new life? Yes, I think they are. So am I asking that every day? And, you know, imperfectly, I aim for every day, but there's days I miss. But that's my go-to, is that's the place that today, after working these steps and having God, you know, open up my life, that's the place that I aim to on a regular basis. That's the real Michael. I don't even know if it's the new Michael. I think that's actually the real Michael that God has revealed. So I'm going to stop there and then go back to our eighth step. So I think as step partners, step guides or sponsors, spiritual advisors, whatever we are, we're all shoulder to shoulder at some point, but some of us have more experience than others. We should be helping the people we're working with see that that's the place that God is taking us when we're writing our eighth step, so that we have a little bit of power and a little bit of hope. And Jeff read it here, and it just came to me while he was reading it, is does this amends process really work in others? So do I have some other people around me that have done ninth step and had some experience and are able to share with me that positive, overwhelmingly positive experience? Book talks about 9 out of 10 cases. Yeah, I'd call that pretty Michael experience too. You know, 9 out of 10 cases, I'm just overwhelmingly surprised with the miracles that happen. And I tell you, most of you that have done amends have probably seen this happen too. The 1 out of 10, somehow over time, even turns into a success as well. And that's a weird, tricky thing, but because it takes time. But I've seen a few of those seemingly failed amends actually turn to good purpose over time, which is really cool. So if you haven't got to your eighth step yet, or you haven't made any amends yet, we have to have a first step experience first to even get there. So why am I talking about the eighth and ninth step and doing all of this if I just came here to stop running my life the way I was running it into the ground, burning everything into the ground, or controlling or fixing the people around me? Well, that's between you and your sponsor to go through that part of it. But this eighth and ninth step is going to be part of the process to support a life worth living while I'm emotionally well, I'm emotionally sober, or I'm going to go back to all those ways that I ran my life anyways. So that's why we're here today. The assumption is today that we are working a first step, or we have worked a first step. I just don't want to get lost in that. So seventh step says, give me the power to go out and do your will. Well, what's the next step? Write the list. Oh, I can't do my ninth step. Oh, I'm stuck. I'm so stuck on my ninth step. Somebody please help me. Who do I call to help me with my ninth step? Have you written your eighth step list? Oh, no, I can't do my ninth step. Have you written your eighth step list? No. Well, let's start there, because you're not on your ninth step then if you haven't written your eighth step list. You know, kind of back that same thinking that I was stuck in the ninth step, and so I wasn't going to do the eighth step. So let's start where we're at. We have this list. We made it when we took inventory. I'm just going to offer it to the group that I'm not 100% clear if we're supposed to write an amends list in our inventory process, or we're just pulling the harms from that. But there should be a prayer moment, or I take two or three in a week to actually look at my amends list and see if there's other people to add to this that didn't come up on my resentment inventory. I don't see that specifically written there, but that seems to be our guidance. And to me, it's almost assumed to lay that list in front of me and go over it in a prayerful way and add some people there that didn't come up already. So I have a list. Perhaps there's some in the eighth and ninth kind of linked together here. So I'm going to read some more here. Page 76. Probably there's still some misgivings, even as I'm writing this list of names. I'm looking at this list of business acquaintance, friends, family even, whom I've hurt. I may feel diffident or hesitant about going to some of them on a spiritual basis. Yeah, let's be reassured. To some of them, we're not going to. We might prejudice them in this way. At the moment, we're just trying to put our lives in order. But this is not an end in itself. Our real purpose, and if you don't have this underlined and highlighted in your book, I have it in mind. Our real purpose is to fit ourselves to be of maximum service to God and the people about us. God, Spirit, Creator, Source, Spirit of the Universe. There are so many wonderful names for that power that got me sober, emotionally clean and sober, and is keeping me emotionally well today and emotionally sober. God's in the book. It's a really easy one for me to use now, but I didn't really have a lot of access to God when I came in here. So it's seldom wise to approach an individual who still smarts for our injustice to them, our wrong against them, and announce we've gone religious. You know, I've been converted. I've changed. Oh, this or that. Or I went to a Bible weekend and I'm you know, born again. Forgive me, right? Well, you know, most people just want their cash back. Most people just want to get right on the conversation that you left them hanging, or, you know, how I came over the top of them and just belittled them. Or there's a thing called gaslighting recently. I just call it mean behavior. You know, they just want us to admit that and try and make it right. They want us to get real and get honest, because in my case, I've been manipulating and shifting the terms and twisting things around and confusing the people around me for so long. They see me coming, actually, and they're like, oh God, here we go. But this is actually a time when I can just say, hey, look, I've been wrong in the past. I've been mean, or I've been really difficult to work with. I am growing beyond there right now. How can I make this situation right, especially if it's a specific situation or money? Some of these friends or coworkers or my family, I have a long history of this particular behavior. So I'll talk in a general way about it. And then I'll say a few specific things that I know that are really weighing me down and possibly the other person. But I don't start with this religious big thing. I try not to make it about me. You know, hey, pat me on the back or feel sorry for me. Those are two of the things that kind of creep out when I write some inventory around this and go forward. Is I either try and make it about me, or you know, I'm looking for pats on the back, and I don't want to show up that way in these amends. I really don't. They're going to be sure to be impressed with a sincere desire to set right the wrong. We're going to be more interested in demonstrations of goodwill than talk of spiritual discovery. So as I'm writing this list, I'm looking for the next paragraph. I'll finish with that is, I'm looking for, hey, am I still holding an emotional charge with these guys? Am I still out to get something out of this? Am I still hanging on to something here? Or do I really want to amend my behavior from here on out? Am I really doing my best to grow beyond here with God's help? And if so, then I'm going to go here and say, look, this is what I've done. This is who I'm trying to be. How can I make it right? And our note cards, and I don't, we should all have access to BBVA booklet, but I'll read it really quickly. Our note cards, when we take this list, should look like the name, if I'm willing or not willing. The address is in this book. I currently just say known if I already know their contact information. You know, we have a computer in our hands that has almost everybody's information in it. So if I know, if I've got their contact information, I just put on their known instead of writing out the full address because I have it on my phone. And then I write down two or three things of what the harm is. Most of these, I'll actually write a letter along the way and get clear of what my harms are before I go to them. I don't normally send the letter, but I think that the letter is really a great way for me to get it all out. And I can run it by my sponsor or a couple of people that know me, and they can help me pull out some of the things that may not be appropriate for an amends type conversation. I just find it really healthy. So we're also not going to shy away from the subject of God when it will serve any good purpose. When it's helpful or relevant, I speak of my truth, my story, either my addictions or my, you know, control fixing or, you know, my Al-Anon issues. I'll speak of it where appropriate. And, you know, to me, it's helpful or relevant when it comes up. Other people, they just want their money back and get the hell out of here. They do. And that's okay, too. That's okay, too. I don't want to waste other people's time. Haven't I done that already enough? Isn't that what I'm making some amends for? Some of these. So how to make the approach to the one we've hated will arise. It may be that they've done more to us than we've done to them. We're a little bit better attitude now, but we're not too keen about admitting our faults to someone that we've hated or someone that may have wronged us more. So I may still have a resentment. I may still have some emotional charge there. If so, I'm going to rewrite the resentment or reread it and get clear on what my resentment was before I go back to this person. If I've already done that and I'm clear on the resentment, then the other exercise in the back of the book, page 552, the 2-week directed prayer for that person, I can take a pause for a couple of weeks and just pray really good things for them as instructed on page 552. And then I can look at the amends and go forward like, hey, in a helpful and forgiving spirit, I can be in that place. If not, I probably still have a resentment. Go back and rewrite it. Get clear. I don't want to go and make an amends that I have to go make amends for, right? So most of this is starting to lean towards step 9, but I think I need to be seeing these things as I'm writing the list and as I'm getting clear on my harms, because I can get off track here. And these are some of the pitfalls I've seen in my own behavior. So I know they'll be helpful for one or two other people out there. I'm gonna read this and I'm gonna give some personal experience. And then I think I've probably taken enough time for today. Is it's harder to go to an enemy than a friend, but we will find it more beneficial. Because of my enmeshment with the people around me and because of the dependence on the people around me in a very unhealthy way for many years, I actually found that it was harder to go to my family than it was to an enemy. Hey, let's go, let's settle this matter, give me your money back or admit my lies and let's move on. I was terrified to go back to close family and really open up because that was new, different territory to be open and honest and genuine with those people in my life. And I lived in a family, I still live in the same family, but we're getting healthier, is that, you know, we don't talk honestly and genuinely about these things. We, you know, that's the rule in the past. And by going to make amends to them, I was breaking some of that rule, but I had to do it. And miracles have happened in those very close personal relationships. I could go on and about that, but save that for another time. If I cannot go to these people in a helpful and forgiving spirit, confessing my ill feelings and expressing regret, then you know, we go back to those practices, the resentment, the two-week guided prayer, consult with our sponsors, our step guides. Hey, under no condition do I criticize a person or argue. I'm not there for that. I'm here to get right with God and God's world that I've harmed. Sometimes to look at the amends process now is I'm writing a list of all the names of institutions and people that I've harmed so I can go out into God's world and fix some of the damage that I've done to God's world. It's not so personal anymore. In the beginning, it definitely was. It's this person, it's that person. It's very personal. I'm so attached to the outcomes and what it's going to look like. But over time, I realized I'm really actually just going out to repair the damage I've done to God's world. And God's like provided this amazing like life for most of us, all of us here. Some of us about perspective right now. But I mean, God woke us up this morning with the breath of life. Thank you, God. Some people didn't get that today.
2 minutes, Mike.
Oh, 2 minutes. Oh, great. I'm going to wrap it up right there. But I'm going out into the world and just trying to repair the damage I've done to God's world at this point, God's kids and God's world. And it changed the personal part of it quite a bit. And it made it a lot easier. So I am grateful that God woke us all up this morning, gave us a breath of life. I love saying that, like a breath of life. And that it's here with us all right now. Thank you guys so much. And it's really wonderful to see a few friends I haven't seen recently. So thanks.
Thank you so much, Michael. That was, you just packed it in some fantastic stuff right there in such a short time. Thank you. Could have listened forever. So tonight's topic is on step 8. We're going to open it up now for general sharing and for questions to anyone from anyone. Please limit your shares to under 4 minutes and self-time, otherwise Brandy will let you know. So if you've not done the work related to step 8, as done through the Big Book Awakening process, we ask that you limit your sharing to questions only. This is a crossfire meeting though, so you can ask questions. And comment on other people's shares. If you're a newcomer to the meeting and to the Big Book Awakening, we'll reserve some time at the end of the meeting for you to introduce yourself and share if you wish to, so we can get to know you. So who wants to start us off with the sharing tonight? Just go ahead and unmute.
I'm Anna. I'm a recovered alcoholic and food addict.
Hey, Anna, go ahead.
Oh, Michael. Oh, Michael, that thing about, I'm just going to dig in. Thank you. I just always appreciate your service, your hours and hours of service. So I made an amend to God this morning, and you talked about the miracles that happen when we do that. I just want to